Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Jan, Lord. Thank you for his heart that is after you, Lord. Thank you that he loves your word. Thank you that he loves your people. Thank you especially that he loves our young people and serves us with them. Lord, I want to pray that you'd fill him now with your Holy Spirit and all the things that he's prepared and thought about and meditated on. I pray that as he speaks them, they'll go into our hearts and teach us and build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, my name is Jan. I'm the youth pastor of this church, if you don't know me. Today, we're looking at gift to Caesar's, what is Caesar's, and gift to God, what is God's. So, we come to a passage where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees' question, what do we do in this situation? As a reader in the 21st century, the first thing that might pop into your mind is, what is going on in the response? What did Jesus mean? What is going on? How can these be applied into our lives? If you read this passage as it is, literally, Jesus seems like he's just responding to a question. It's a directive response for us. We need to pay our taxes and give to God, whatever that looks like. But I want to submit to you today that there's a tiny bit more what's going on in this passage, that Jesus is actually not giving us an instruction here. So let's unpack this passage a tiny bit. By now, we know Jesus is known in this, in what he's doing, his miracles, his word is being spread quite a lot. People view him as a Messiah now. They want to follow him. They want to hear what he has to say. He has a great following, which makes the Pharisees quite angry. They are worried that he has all these masses of people coming to him and following him. Obviously, they don't like what he's saying because of the claims that he's making as God. So the Pharisees want to get rid of him. They want to kill him. The Romans at this time were quite brutal, persecuted the Jews at this time. And this tax that is referred to in this passage is primary mark of the political subjection of the Jews. So just marks it that Romans are the rulers and the Jews are the kind of, they have to follow their rules. And no surprise, some forms of group are made up around 6 AD, which rebelled against this kind of tax. They were called the Zealots. So by this time, when we're reading this passage, it's the heat on this topic is quite high. The talk about taxes and paying the Romans, it's a very touchy subject for the Jews. When the Pharisees asked the question, you can imagine there was a cold, wet, stone-cold silence went in the room because people wanted to hear what Jesus has to say about this. But you see this, the Pharisees were not there because they wanted to hear Jesus' answer. They were not there to hear what Jesus' opinion about this topic. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to find a way to get Jesus killed. But of course, we see that Jesus knows what they're doing and he answers them differently. So, the two answers that Jesus says are, pay the taxes to the Romans. So if he said that, just say, pay the taxes to the Romans, the Jews, what they could do is, there would be a good reason that they would say, he's working with the Romans, he's a traitor of the Jew, and this will forfeit his following. If Jesus says, don't pay the taxes, then the Pharisees can use that against them with the Romans and say, okay, he's against the Roman Empire, kill him. Okay? So it's all along, the question that the Pharisees are asking Jesus is so that they can trap him. They can find a way to get rid of him. But Jesus cleverly kind of answers them. So the first thing he does is he asks them for a denarius coin. What a denarius coin is, it was a specific coin that was used to pay the Romans for that specific tax. And what it had on the coin had a little image of Caesar and an engraving, Son of God, at the bottom of the coin. Because at that time, the emperors and the people who ruled viewed themselves as gods, or like connection with God, the son of gods. And they would want to be worshipped. They would want to have statues in the villages. So in this case, for a Jew, this coin was quite idolatrous, because they believed that there's only one God and that God shouldn't have any image. So for for patriotic Jew, he shouldn't be carrying this kind of coin. This is why he calls them hypocrites. See, Jesus, in this passage, completely turns the attack on him and calls out the mistakes that they have in their own beliefs and in their system. But the beauty of the answer of Jesus isn't that he pleases anyone. He doesn't please the zealots, the people who want to get rid of the Romans. He doesn't please the Pharisees, or doesn't please the Romans in his answer. He gives all the glory to God. In his response, give to Caesar what is Caesar. It's not like because Caesar has any authority or has any kind of, he's not owned anything. Render, which is basically means give back. So if you know, his money, just give his money back. That's what Jesus is referring to. But Jesus' response simply is not accepting of the Roman taxation. To God, the things that are God's. To God, the things that are God's. Who's the Lord over your life? See, Jesus here ends the answer with a drop mic, you can't say nothing to me no more moment. In other words, they were amazed. You see, God is Lord over all things. It's all God's anyways. It doesn't matter if the money is Caesar's, if it's Queen Elizabeth, or if the government. It doesn't really matter. It's all his. We as humans, we have this idea that things belong to us. I have paid for it with my own money. It's mine. You break my phone, you break my item, you owe me, you need to pay me back. The money that I've earned is mine. I can use it as much as I like to. Our society is surrounded by this idea, I desire things, I desire everything, and I want everything and anything. Who's Lord over our lives? The thing is that we, as Christians, are citizens of a different kingdom. Where we are supposed to be, anyways. We live at different standards. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, as a citizen of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live in a manner of worthy to Christ. Our Lord is God. He is our overarching authority in our lives. When we give our lives to Jesus, he shouldn't just be an additional thing in our lives. Not another book in our 50 book collection. Not a new chain when we feel like wearing it. He's just not another thing in our lives as addition. He should be Lord of our lives, which means you give him all. He should be the only thing that has authority over your life. Not because God needs this authority. We give this because he loved us first. He has died for us. He has welcomed us in his kingdom. We do this out of love for him, because he knows what is best for our lives, and because he is Lord. Who's Lord over your life? Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the material things are evil and we need to get rid of them immediately. We need money in the world. We need things to live in this world. We need phones. Some people need phones to do their work. They need to communicate with other people. Good laptops. Here we have things to project things. Cinema, super fun. You know, things can be enjoyed and can be fun in our community. But then they become not good, and they start become our idols, and when they control our lives, they become our lords over our lives. We are citizens of heaven. We shouldn't get life from Jesus. We should get life from Jesus. Our identity, who we are, a comfort, a direction. See, this is a massive challenge for me. You can ask my wife. I love technology. I spend hours watching videos on new things coming out, researching this device against this device. What can I? What's the new thing? I enjoy it. It's something that I just enjoy. At the beginning of this month, at the home group leaders meeting, we were challenged to ask the Lord, what should we give up for this fasting month? Before this meeting, I planned to do something easy, give up chocolate or something. It's nothing significant. But as we were led to and converse with our Lord, the first thing that came into my mind was Netflix. Who watches Netflix here? I bet. my response was, oh no, not Netflix. It was clear to me that something, that the thing that the Lord wanted to challenge me on is Netflix. But you wonder why. Netflix is good. It has good series in it. See, the thing is, what I used to do is leave the house, put on Netflix on my phone, watch it on my way to work, go to work, on my break time, watch Netflix, every break, watch Netflix, on my way back to home, watch Netflix, and then got home, and then watch Netflix. I wonder why Jesus wanted to challenge me on that. Maybe Netflix was became my idol. So then I decided to give up that for the month. But as you know, we are broken creatures. So what I did was replace Netflix time with something else. YouTube, game on the phone. So after a time, my phone broke. Suddenly it just stopped working. It just froze. So you can understand, I got really upset. I felt like my whole world just was shaken. I didn't know what to do. I don't know if it was the Lord or it wasn't. For me, it doesn't really matter if it was. But what it did, it allowed me to think. I was able to reflect on how much my phone has become an idol. It allowed me to realize in the moments when I was watching Netflix, I could be praying to the Lord, reading something that is benefiting my walk with Jesus, or spending time with people around me. And there's moments of when I was going from work to my back home, I didn't realize that I got from A to B because I was so focused on what I was watching. Allow me to reposition my focus. Who's Lord over your life? And that might be you. Something in your life today is having that stronghold in your life. That's taking the time and money focused away from being with the Lord. But as well we know, just taking time, but it's gaining life from you. You can't feel good without it. You're no one without it. As citizens of heaven, that's not the call on our lives. But I would like to take it a step further. You might be feeling like now that, you know, I don't have anything in my life that has this kind of stronghold. I'm good with my time. I steward my time well. My money, my time with the Lord is good. Maybe you've been already doing this in this month as you've been fasting, reflecting upon your life. But I want to ask you a question about your character. We're called to be like Christ. Is there anything in your person that you need the Lord to be Lord over? Maybe it's how you speak. Gossip at work. Swearing. Negatively talking about things around you. Not being thankful. Or how jealous you are over other people. We as Christians, we are called to be different. To be citizen of heaven means that we are foreigners in this world. Being a foreigner is being not knowing what is, not being different. We should act differently. We should be seen that we don't belong here in this world. not blend in the attitudes of this world, the ways of this world. We are called to be different. So who's Lord over your life? And I want to leave you with this. Have a think. Have a soul search. Is it money? Is it an item in your life? Is it something in your character? Or maybe something else? Who is Lord over your life? Debbie, why don't you lead us in response?
Well, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that at the cross, these things that we think are so important, they just dissolve away. They lose their power on us. They lose their hold over us. We no longer feel bound by them. And I want to thank you for that freedom. I want to thank you that you paid for that freedom for us with your blood on the cross. And I pray now that as we take this act, do this prophetic act, as we come forward and kind of lay our idols at your feet, so to speak, Lord, I pray that we would find them washed away, dissolving away. We'd know that burden, the weight of them lifted from our hearts, and that we would find a new place of freedom and love and worship so we can give ourselves wholly to you. We ask these in your precious name, Jesus, because we know you want to do it in our lives. Amen.